Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 13th. I'm your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and TV-less Melissa Hansen.
I am, unfortunately. It's like going through crack withdrawal.
Now, if I remember right, there was not too long ago we talked about the fact that your TV died and you had to go out and buy a new TV.
We did this past fall,
yeah.
Like 9 months ago. And yes, I have not been able to watch TV. I actually Hulu'd on my computer. I watched the rest of The Rockford Files season one.
Okay.
So at least, you know, I had something. But no, I'm going to get up on my little soapbox and take this opportunity, because it's my podcast, to yell at Sanyo and Panasonic, which owns Sanyo. I have been without a TV for a week. My TV that's like 9 months old died, will not turn on.
Oh, no.
Nothing. Like, went to put it on with the remote, didn't come on, tried with, like, on the TV, you know, switched outlet, nothing. It's just dead. And it didn't, like, it wasn't on and it died. It just won't go on now.
Huh.
So, what do? You call customer service.
Okay.
Expecting service, because you are a customer.
And
of course, the closest repair shop is, like, an hour and a half away. So, the customer service rep was like, okay, well, I need to send your information over to corporate then, and they will have to handle it because their repair shop's too far away.
Okay.
They should be calling you in 2 to 3 days.
Ah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm without a TV or, you know, no idea what's going to happen for 2 to 3 days. Yes, I'm sorry, ma'am. That's what we have to do. Fine. 3 days. Of course, no call back.
Uh-oh.
Call again. Explain what's happening. And says, oh, yes, we have no more information from them. You will have to wait another 4 to 5 days for them to call you back. And I say, this is ridiculous. You know, without our TV for over a week, because Daniel sold me a defective product.
Yeah.
And now no one can help me. I'm sorry, ma'am. I said, well, is there someone I can talk to at corporate then? Can you just put me in touch with them, or a supervisor, or somebody I can talk to? No, ma'am, the only way we have to contact them is what I send them, what I type in and send them. I have to wait for them to call me back, and I don't even know what they're going to do. If they're going to have me ship it, if they're going to send me somewhere else.
There should be a one-year limited warranty that means you
can replace it. Oh, it's under warranty.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know how they're going to fix it or replace it or what.
They should just send you a new one.
Well, that's what I would think, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't know what's going to happen because I can't talk to anyone and no one will call me back.
Wow.
So it's been a week without television.
During the Olympics.
During the Olympics. So I have missed half the Olympics and will miss the closing ceremonies.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it's not like the worst thing in the world to happen to someone.
No.
But it stinks. It really...
It's an annoyance.
Stinks, and it's also not like my fault. Like, it's a defective product. It's like 9 months old.
Well, and you're paying for DirecTV service, and you're wasting it because you're not able to watch it.
Exactly. And I'm going to have to pay, like, if they send me a new TV, I have to go pay to recycle this old one.
That's true.
You know? Yeah. And if I have to take it somewhere, I don't know. So I don't know what's going to happen. I will update you all. But as of now, I will never, ever, ever be buying another Sanyo product.
Yeah. Well, their brand isn't exactly the strongest in the world.
All right. So I know. I was dumb for getting it. I should have known better.
Yeah.
But now I've learned my lesson.
At least you didn't buy, like, the Walmart brand or something.
So that's why I have nothing good to report to you about entertainment, because I have had no entertainment.
Okay. Well, maybe you can help me with my entertainment, because this week I got caught up on the rest of Grimm. I actually still have the season finale to watch.
Oh, just wait till you watch.
Which I know has to do with Juliet, because the commercials
Game.
Have been running for season two.
Oh, that's only one part. Game changer.
Oh. Well,
it is a changer.
So, David Greenwalt, and we've talked about this before, who I worship at the altar of David Greenwalt because I think he's a fantastic writer and director and producer.
Right.
Started out doing X-Files, went to Angel and Buffy. He did Miracles. He did Jake 2.0. He did Moonlight with Alex O'Loughlin, which was a crappy vampire detective series. So everybody's entitled to make a mistake. So he co-created this with two other writers. It's executive produced by Sean Hayes, which we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. Probably the one of the most fascinating new series of last season with one of the greatest sidekicks ever created for television.
Oh, without a doubt. Mondo is not only a great written character, the portrayal.
Silas Weir Mitchell is fantastic. This role was made for him. He made it his own.
Yeah, that's not. I don't know how much it was made for him. It's that he made this role.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm getting through this, and a lot like. Well, let's put it this way. If you watched any of the Chris Carter stuff, so I'm speaking specifically to X-Files and Millennium.
It
has that Millennium feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific Northwest, very steeped in, mythology.
Absolutely. Well, it's kind of Millennium light.
Yes, right. Yeah. But still taking that Angel Buffy kind of monster of the week thing.
Exactly.
And now they're getting into the mythology and this deep Eastern European, Western European mythology. And whereas Once Upon a Time is doing a lot more of the fairy tale type stuff, this show is taking a lot of specific characters that would be found in those grim fairy tales.
Right.
Trolls and goblins and witches.
The goose that laid the golden egg
stuff. Oh my God, that one was crazy.
Yeah.
As was the one with the beavers. So there's just a lot of really fascinating stuff. Now, my concern is, and this happened with Millennium, when you get into a very big, complex mythology, the show kind of chokes itself to death.
Yes, you have to be careful, but they're doing some cool stuff.
And they have, because they've revealed just that David's a master of this. He plants seeds like J.J. Abrams does, and then they bear fruit later in the season. So they have this character of the captain who we don't know a lot about, but we know he's involved very deep into this hierarchy of old school, old world justice, kind of.
Yes.
So it's fascinating to watch, and they just tease out little pieces here and there. Now we know that Nick's parents were not in a car accident, they were murdered, and all of this kind of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to the season premiere is this week.
No. You are really looking forward to the season ending from last.
Really? Okay. Yep. All right.
Yes.
So there's been a couple of moments where it's been forced.
Boom, boom, boom.
They've introduced a new character. They had this one guy who played kind of the apothecary role.
Yes.
And he was murdered, and his sister came in.
Yes, we still have that, the potions we can get.
Right, and now she's a love interest for Monroe, which is an interesting, giving him more to do, which I really love.
Monroe needs some good action after the crazy wolf chick, man.
Yes, yes.
He's a nice girl to settle down with.
Poor Hank, who is Nick's partner.
To settle down with.
Hank was going to set up as the other lead in the show, and he's really become more of a third string character.
He kind of has. That happens. You never know which characters the audience are going to react to.
Yeah. Well, and Sergeant Wu, who is their kind of go-to guy for all the crime scenes, had a great little moment where he got kind of caught ingesting a potion that was intended.
Yeah, he kind of had an episode where he was kind of the lead in it, which was nice, just to see him more and get to know him more.
Yeah, and you will know him because he played Joseph Gordon-Levitt's partner in Batman, The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, okay.
Basically playing the same character that he plays on the show. That's crazy. So anyways, the DVD and Blu-ray is out. Look for my review this coming week on DVD Verdict. And get caught up because this is a really great show, and I'm looking forward to them doing much better, even greater things with it.
Yes.
Okay. Enough of that. Speaking of Dark Knight Rises, what's been going on in the box office this past week?
Well, it is not number one. It's going to be number two, a little surprisingly, I think.
Yeah.
The Bourne Legacy, of course, is number one. That's not that big of a surprise, with over $40 million.
Well, the franchise still has legs, even without Matt Damon.
Absolutely. And Jeremy Renner, I think, great choice to kind of take over.
Yeah.
He's just fun to watch on screen. But yeah, so that's number one. The Campaign, number two.
Good comedy.
$27 million.
Despite bad reviews.
Yeah, and that knocked Dark Knight Rises down $19.5 million, number three.
All right, well.
And it hasn't quite reached $400 million domestically yet, so by next weekend it should.
Oh, that's so sad. Has it reached $400 million?
Oh, darn.
God.
But Hope Springs came in fourth.
Oh, nice.
With $15.5 million.
Good.
Yeah, that made me kind of happy to see that.
Yeah.
And then Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, which is over $8 million.
Oh, so where's Total Recall?
Total Recall.
Is in the total bargain bin dumpster.
Well, not top five. It's number six with $8
million. Jeez, what a waste.
Yeah, so.
Well, this coming week, there's kind of a waste too. No, I shouldn't say that. There's a couple things on here that are maybe worth your time. First up, The Odd Life of Timothy Green, which is another Wednesday opening this week, which is weird for the end of the summer.
Why they would open? Yeah, I don't know if they're trying to get it in before kids are back to school.
Maybe that's what it is.
I know some are starting back this week, even in the South.
Really?
My friend Caroline's kids.
Wow.
Stuff started back this past week.
Holy crap.
Ready. But yeah, so a lot are coming out in the next week. But anyhow.
Anyhow, this is a Disney film. Stars Jennifer Garner and Joel Edgerton. It was a film that started production back in the summer of 2010.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, has been languishing until now. The story...
What happens? Sometimes there's good reason, and sometimes it just happens to be studio stuff.
That's true. But in putting this together, I didn't realize that the story was written by Amit Zappa.
Really? Oh, yes. That is really cool.
Yeah. Frank's kids have gone on to do some really interesting things.
Yeah. But the script, the screenplay, is written by Peter Hedges.
Okay. Who directed the film as well.
Right. But he has directed. He did like Dan in Real Life. He wrote and directed. And Pieces of April. He wrote and directed. But he wrote the novel What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Oh, no kidding.
And then wrote the screenplay to it. That's how he got his start in film.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, peel the onion and you'll never know what you find.
Yeah.
Expendables 2. Still haven't seen the first one. Still on Netflix if you want to get caught up. This is Sylvester Stallone and all of his buddies going out to make a movie just for the hell of it. And Stallone wrote the script with such great dialogue as looking at Chuck Norris and saying, "I thought you were the lone wolf," making reference to Chuck's movie, Lone Wolf McQuade.
Okay.
Or Arnold saying things like, "I'm back."
Well, whatever. We're not watching it for the dialogue. We're watching it to see all these action stars be old. And still action stars.
Not much. I think it's ridiculous, but hey, basically, it's going to make some money.
Yeah.
Depressingly enough, if you've seen the trailer, Sparkle is coming out, and this is Whitney Houston's final film, right. Which has, it rings echoes of Dreamgirls, because it's, except this is a story of three sisters who form a girl group in the 60s, and then it's the trouble. So it's like Dreamgirls meet the Jacksons kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
CeeLo, yeah. Mike Epps, Derek Luke, Jordan Sparks, and Curtis Armstrong.
Yeah, he fits in there real well. Sorry, what?
But the one I'm looking forward to is Paranorman, which is in the same vein as Coraline and Corpse Bride and the forthcoming Frank and Weenie. But longtime animation supervisors Chris Butler and Sam Fell finally get their shot in the director's chair for this stop-motion Halloween comedy about a young kid who sees dead people and must now use that gift to save his town from a 300-year-old curse.
Okay.
Looks hilarious. So I really want to see
it. It does. And great voice cast.
Yeah. Oh, huge voice cast.
Yeah. Anna Kendrick, but Casey Affleck, Leslie Mann, Jeff Garlin, Elaine Stritch. Talk about comedians here. They got Elaine Stritch to do Grandma's voice in this.
Nice. She's been so great on 30 Rock as Alec Baldwin's mom.
Yeah, and thanks to Tina Fey for kind of bringing her back to the forefront.
Oh, hell yes.
Amen.
Legend. All right, let's take a look and see what the best of DVD and Blu-ray has to offer this week.
All righty.
Dave Johnson mentioned The Raid Redemption on Friday Filibuster, which is this huge Indonesian action phenomenon. I mean, this is one of those movies that everybody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently on Blu-ray, it looks like garbage.
That's not good.
I don't know what happened to Sony's quality control, but somebody screwed up.
Putting it on Blu-ray if you're not going to make it look good.
Yeah.
It do.
Yeah. The immortal Richard Roundtree shows up this week in Shaft.
Shaft!
Shut your mouth. Awesome. Awesome cult. If you have never seen it, this is 70s blaxploitation at its finest. I know Sam Jackson they did a remake with Sam, who...
Yeah.
I mean, Sam's a badass, but Richard Roundtree, nobody can hold a candle to this guy.
Heck no. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth. Dexter Season 6.
Yay, which one should be in my mailbox Tuesday?
Nice.
And it should all be watched by Wednesday.
Stay up all night and watch it. I have not seen, I watched all of season one. I don't even know if I started season two, or I did start season two and didn't finish it, but I am way behind the curve on this one.
Yeah, and I've been caught up. I watch them on DVD. You know, I don't have cable, but yeah, so I wait for it to come and then I just plow through it. Nice. And oh, so nice.
Nice. Well, the guy, the big guy who plays one of his colleagues on the police force was in an episode of Grimm.
Yes.
It was great. I mean, he played a troll and it was good to see him.
Yeah. And Dexter, it's a great show. And
Michael C. Hall is fantastic in this. It's a really weird concept, but
amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then we have our guest star for each season.
That's right.
Usually on like one, you know, big season. So, and that's always fun to know. Colin Hanks.
Oh.
Is, big in this upcoming season.
Okay. And they're still going, right? They're still, there will be a season.
Yeah. So yeah, the new one starts this fall and then I'll be able to watch it next summer.
All right. Well, there you go. A show that's completely falling flat on its face, but still breathing for some reason, is Glee. Season three, which started out by firing a bunch of characters that everybody loved, and then bringing on people who won a reality show competition, which was really lousy.
Right, which one was like, eh, and one was really good and fit in well, and I like what they did with them. But yeah,
he didn't show up until the last few episodes of the season. So they graduated this season, and now they're going on to do other things with their lives. And apparently everybody is still signed, so now they're going to follow people throughout wherever they are in the world.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, and Ryan Murphy.
Diana's leaving.
Yeah, I guess she's not.
I know Dot Marie hasn't been signed for sure yet.
Okay.
For what, you know, if she's going to be on it all or just recurring or what.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, we can watch the last season and watch prom and graduation. And
well, and the weird thing is Ryan Murphy continues to spread himself so thin. So he's got a comedy on NBC, The New Normal, which has been advertising during the Olympics all the time. He's got American Horror Story going. And
right.
He's got something else he's working on. So
right. Well, I think Glee, he's pretty much letting other people run now.
Which
I mean, I'm sure he's got
thing.
Some input, but yeah, he's not doing day-to-day so much on there.
Yeah. A show that survived an involuntary hiatus in the firing of its creator, Community, is on season three, is on DVD this week, which had some fantastic episodes.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, every episode's fantastic, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, some really classic ones.
And it's got its own great little mythology going, you know, with John Goodman as the head of the heating and air conditioning college.
Yeah, that really turned out well.
Yeah.
Bringing him on.
So now the new showrunners, as we mentioned, used to run Happy Endings, and they swear that they're going to try and keep doing the same thing that the show has been doing. But
well, the only reason the show's still on is because of the fan base, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And if they change the show, they're not going to have the fan base.
That's true.
So
it's true. We'll see how they manage this.
Mm-hmm.
Number one release of the week, Steven Spielberg's only his third big picture after Close Encounters and Jurassic Park to be released on Blu-ray is Jaws. And from everything I hear, it looks phenomenal.
Cool. So, very cool.
Yeah.
So they got that Blu-ray, right?
Yep. And E.T. is coming. And Indiana Jones, the box set, is coming. So
okay.
Yeah.
Good. That was surprising. Like, out of all the movies he's done and the big action-y stuff.
I know.
They're not on Blu-ray yet. Wow.
Yeah, I think he wanted to take his time and make sure that the format was worth it. And he supervises everything. He doesn't let the studio go and just dump stuff onto the disc. He makes sure that everything looks right.
Lucky he's able to do that.
Right. I don't have an opportunistic release of the week, but I do have an exploitive release of the week.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Greg Brady and Danny Partridge team up.
Shut up.
To take down Bigfoot.
Nice. Well, somebody's got to take him down. And really, who else could? The Bradys and the Partridges.
Barry Williams and Danny Bonaducci in a film directed by Bruce Davison, no less. Actor-turned-director Bruce Davison, who you will remember as Senator Robert Kelly from the X-Men movies. But you would know him from a lot of other stuff if you followed his career. But the fun doesn't stop there. So this is a made-for-sci-fi original movie, which we all know is terrible. but also stars Howard Hessman from WKRP, Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks, and Alice Cooper.
Very nice.
Oh, boy. It's going to be terrible. But that's why people go and watch these things.
Fun.
Yep, exactly.
But
fun. All right, over at Netflix, in terms of internet streaming, my favorite movie in a very, very, very long time, J.J. Abrams' Super 8 is available on Netflix this week.
Okay.
I really adore this film. I've seen it 8 times, I think.
Wow.
5 times in the theater and 3 times on home video. Yeah, I just, there was something about this movie that really struck a chord with me.
All right.
Alexander Aja's 2010 remake of Joe Dante's 1978 core comedy horror movie Piranha to be used on Netflix this week. I am getting tongue-tied here. The big screen adaptation of David Mamet's Glenn Ross is on Netflix this week.
Speaking ABC.
Alec Baldwin, Jack Lemmon.
Yeah, good cast, man.
Al Pacino. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah. Che Guevara, the biopic of his early years called Motorcycle Diaries, starring Gael Garcia Bernal, is available this week. Elijah Wood's remake of the Australian comedy series Wilfred is available.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which...
Nice, I haven't checked that out yet.
No,
so.
I haven't either. They shot it in Venice Beach, so I'm curious to see, since I'm missing home, just, you know, going back and looking at the neighborhood through somebody else's eyes. And if you're a fan of British television and Martin Clune's Doc Martin, the complete series is available on Netflix this week.
Okay, good.
I know Jim Stewart has covered a lot of those DVD releases for us, so you can go and check those out. Over on Hulu, Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill, which I still have not seen. I need to check that out. Two more Criterions. It seems like every week there's more and more Criterions showing up on Hulu.
Yeah.
Masahiro Shinoda's Japanese New Wave classic Pale Flower, about a wizened Yakuza mobster and his young female protege whose lust for life and thrills may prove both of their undoings. And then you've got Albert Finney and Jacqueline Bisset in John Huston's 1984 film Under the Volcano, which is about an alcoholic, self-destructive British emissary living in Mexico.
All right, then.
And his ex-wife, who wants nothing more than to save him and their marriage.
Good luck to her.
Good luck. Indeed. All right, I'm handing it over to you for television.
Okay, well, we're back into season premieres for television, even though it's the middle of August.
Yeah, I know. Summer went fast.
Yeah, and so Monday night on TNT, there is the series premiere of Major Crimes.
What's that?
Which is the spin-off of The Closer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and The Closer finale is on Monday night, too, and then immediately after that is Major Crimes, which stars Mary McDonnell.
Oh.
The Closer. She's carrying her character over to the new show.
Nice.
Yeah, so we will be missing Kira Sedgwick, but those of you that were big fans, hopefully will still be big fans of Major Crimes.
Okay.
And then NBC, you mentioned Grimm, is actually starting now, a month before everything else.
Yeah, how about it?
See how that works. But it's premiering on Monday, and it's going to be in the next 4 Mondays. But it's also on Friday in its regular slot.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yep. And also premiering, which this is typical for summer, a celebrity competition show called Stars Earned Stripes.
Oh, well, this is the thing with Nick Lachey.
Yeah.
Dean Cain.
And Todd Palin.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
so, and it's them doing competition stuff, but it's all military kind of based, whatever.
Yes.
And also on Monday, geez, it's a busy night, Fox is premiering Hotel Hell.
What?
With Gordon Ramsay redoing hotels, not restaurants.
Oh, my God.
He ran out of restaurants in the world to fix. Now he's fixing hotels. Okay. Anyhow, on to premieres Wednesday on CW, there's one called Oh Sit. Now, I said S-I-T. it's a game show.
What?
Based on musical chairs.
Shut up.
Like, really, this is all that's left to do.
Oh, we are scraping the bottom of the barrel now.
Yes, the next one would be based on Hot Potato.
And then kick the can.
And yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I spy with my little eye where they're going next, because we're already down to musical chairs for reality shows.
As we know it.
Okay. And then Thursday, CW's premiering another show called The Next.
Yeah.
And it's another frickin' singing competition show. Starring Gloria Estefan, Joe Jonas, Nelly, and John Rich from Big and Rich.
Oh my God.
And it's they go and pick singers from their hometown and then they compete.
Oh God.
Okay. Okay, well, from all that crap, we can go over to Stars and Boss season premiere, Kelsey Grammer's show that got great ratings.
Okay.
Filmed and set in Chicago.
Yep.
That season premiere starting already on Friday.
Wow.
And Sunday on E! In case Joe Jonas on CW wasn't enough, on E! Married to Jonas. It's about Kevin's wife. Mm. It's a reality show about her life.
Oh, God.
Because we all care oh so much.
Wow.
All right. Okay. Let's get the hell away from TV. That's just boring me. And go to music. This week, Just Tell Me That You Want Me, a tribute to Fleetwood Mac, is out. I know you're not a big Fleetwood Mac, whatever. Send your notes to Michael, not me.
Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac are at the bottom of my listening barrel, so.
All right. But anyhow, if you are a fan of Fleetwood Mac, you would like to hear someone else sing their songs. It's a whole big compilation of people covering them. Marianne Faithfull and The Kills are two of the X on there. And another tribute, Songs of the Century, an all-star tribute to Supertramp.
Oh, wow. All right, and now we just jumped up to the top of my list.
Okay, well, it's people on there are members of, it's not the whole thing, members of Asia and Yes and Deep Purple and Total Mr. So, yeah, fan of Supertramp, you can check that out. And then a couple of soundtracks. We talked about the movies coming out. The soundtracks are coming out this week, too. Paranorman.
Yes.
Which is John Bryan, B-R-I-O-N.
Yeah, he's kind of an alternative artist. No, that's cool.
Yeah. So he's doing the soundtrack of that. And Jeff Zanelli is doing the soundtrack of The Odd Life of Timothy Green.
I do not know him.
Yeah, so those are both out, you know, streaming and CD or however you listen to your favorite tunes.
Right.
Books this week. Forks Over Knives, the documentary.
Yes.
That has been, you know, very popular and well-known. They actually have a cookbook.
Ah.
Over 300 recipes for plant-based eating all through the year.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a fan of that film, you can check that out. And then Solo, a memoir of hope by Hope Solo.
Oh, the U.S. Women's soccer team goalie.
And very interesting, very cool. So that's obviously, you know, autobiography she's written, but they're also releasing it under a different title, Hope Solo, My Story, and it's a young reader's edition.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So they went and kind of cut it, I'm sure for content, but, you know, length and stuff, and kind of redid it and doing kind of the adult version and then the youth version of it.
It's actually kind of smart.
Very neat, because it is, because she's very inspirational to young women.
Sure.
Young female athletes. So they can still read it, too. Have you seen, people share it on Facebook a bunch, it's pictures of Ryan Gosling, and they've put, like, a fake quote on it.
No.
Like, he's all sensitive and like, hey, girl, let me take care of you. Okay, so it's actually a blog.
Yeah.
But he did this, and people share it on Facebook all the time. It's now a book. Danielle Henderson. Feminist Ryan Gosling.
Oh,
feminist theory as imagined from your favorite sensitive movie dude. So if you've seen those and appreciate that, you can pick up the book.
Oh, boy. Alrighty.
And in New York.
Yeah.
Theater scene. There's a couple new shows. Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods.
Yes.
Is actually running right now in Central Park.
Shut up.
Yep. Theater outside.
Cool.
And Amy Adams is starring in it.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So very cool. So if you happen to be around New York, you are going to want to check that out.
Yeah.
And Sam Shepard's new play, Heartless.
Oh.
It's actually in previews right now. It officially opens August 27th.
Yeah.
And it's off Broadway at the Pershing Square Signature Center. Yeah. But it's starring Julianne Nicholson.
Oh, from Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Law and Order, from a lot of other things too, but also Gary Cole and Lois Smith.
Oh, from Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. And Gary Cole's from Steppenwolf, too. Yeah. You all know him from TV.
Right.
Midnight Caller and things
Office
like that.
Space. And
yeah. Yeah.
Brady Bunch. And
right. Right. But yeah. And so, but Sam Shepard, who is one of the best playwrights out there, it's his brand new play. So anyhow, that officially opens August 27th, but is in previews now. So that'll run for a while. So this fall, you're going to want to check that one out.
I wonder if this is the story of the relationship between him and Jessica Lange. Heartless.
I don't know what that title it might be.
All right. Well, heading over into entertainment news. Well, we've been talking about the Olympics coming to a close this past weekend. Well, NBC's Olympics streaming video broke a milestone this week by crossing the 1 billion page view mark. So people around the world can get their Olympic fix from a lot more than just watching television these days.
Yeah, but unfortunately here in the States, you can only get it like you have cable television.
Yeah, Eric mentioned something about that.
Watch it streaming.
That's
that
weird.
Blows. That was a crass move.
And I guess it's, yeah, I don't.
Sorry, I already did my bitching earlier in the podcast. I'll shut up now.
All right. Well, Avengers fans can celebrate because this past week, Joss Whedon officially signed on to write and direct the sequel, as if Marvel was going to screw up that franchise.
Yeah, right.
Chad Ochocinco, for those of you Dancing with the Stars fans, pulled a Chris Brown this week and assaulted his wife in their car by headbutting her.
Excellent.
He's currently out on bail awaiting arraignment. Classy. Classy NFL sports hero. Yeah, good job there, dude. Plans for Doctor Who's 50th anniversary in 2013 are heating up. Not only is the premiere of Series 7 only weeks away, but the BBC has recently commissioned a biopic film to be written by current Doctor Who scribe Mark Gatiss, detailing the origins and the creation of the series, which should prove interesting. Very much a period piece, and Mark's written some incredible episodes for the recent series, so I'm sure that is going to be very well worth your time. Speaking of 50th anniversaries, British cable network B-Sky B is creating a pay channel dedicated to showing nothing but James Bond films and featurettes for the entire month of October to celebrate the golden anniversary of Ian Fleming's Super Spy.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think it's probably the first time that's been done where somebody's actually created a channel just for a month, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
Since MTV... What?
We'll see how it goes, see if it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure we'll see it more often if it works.
Yeah, could be very profitable for them. Since MTV is incapable of coming up with original ideas, they are remaking the hit British series The In-Betweeners.
Okay.
Because their attempt at redoing Skins worked so well. NBC's attempt to redo Coupling was a complete disaster. So, yeah, you guys just keep trying that.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers is courting Ben Affleck to star and direct their Justice League franchise.
Nice.
So basically he's going to be the Joss Whedon for the DC Comics universe. My guess is that he would be Bruce Wayne Batman.
Hmm.
But it could be interesting. I mean, Ben's done some, you know, The Town was a really good movie.
You know what? I am a huge fan of him as a director.
Yeah. Argo is coming out next month, and I worked a day on that movie. I don't have a lot of good things to say about that experience, but that's neither here nor there, so.
Yeah, but his final product and Gone Baby Gone is an amazing movie. Yeah, I like watching Benji on screen. I mean, the shine has worn off that arena, but man, is he a good director.
Yeah, so, I mean, this could prove really smart on Warner Brothers' part. So we'll have to wait and see. But this will be after they get done with their Man of Steel Superman reboot. So in a recent, this is my favorite quote of the week, and I'll finish with this. But in a recent interview with our colleagues at Collider.com, David Duchovny pulled no punches when he was talking about another X-Files film. So this is a verbatim quote. "I would love to do another film or more. I think we're all game for it. I know I'm kind of perplexed that Fox isn't. Here's a homegrown property that you don't have to go and buy, like fucking Green Lantern. Here you've got an actual action franchise that's your own. It's weird to me, but I'm not an executive.
I love him.
So, yeah, there's been rumors that Chris Carter and Frank Spotnitz are looking at doing another X-Files film on a much grander scale than the last one, which David copped to the fact that this was a little independent feature. It was $25 million. It was shot quick. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think I agree with them. Fox is stupid for not capitalizing on this. It's still, there's a huge cult following for X-Files. So.
Right. And I don't know if you've heard the rumors.
What?
That have been denied. I will say that at the beginning have been completely denied.
What?
But that he and Jillian are hooking up.
Really? She's married?
No, she's not anymore.
Oh.
And she's being very cagey in an interview about if she was dating someone, and she admitted she was dating someone, but kind of beat around the bush when it who and whatever. And so the rumor started that
she's been living in London with her stupid British accent where she keeps showing up.
Well, she's back here with her kids and supposedly shacking up with him.
Wow.
So, and again, it's been denied by the officials, you know, their spokesman. So,
and David and Tia Leone are kaput.
Yeah.
Over? Oh, okay. All right.
Or he, I guess his sex addiction treatment didn't work so well. Imagine that.
Art imitates life. He's still doing Californication, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyhow, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that's the rumor going around.
Well,
I'm
again, just, it could be
going around, even though it's not true.
It could be part of a publicity thing to, again, push the fact that X-Files is still of interest. It's not beyond the realm of Hollywood to manufacture stories so as to drive public opinion.
I am reporting that it's the rumor going around.
That's the whole thing with this Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart thing, that the only reason this is actually, it's all manufactured. RuPaul came out and said, you people are foolish to think that this is anything other than a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you never know. You never know nowadays.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Anyway, speaking of publicity horrors, you got anything on the Kardashians this week?
Of course I do. If you are a huge fan, you are going to want to pick up Us Weekly.
Yeah.
Because Penelope is on the cover with her mother and brother.
Who's Penelope?
Courtney's baby.
Oh, okay.
She's on the cover with the baby and Mason. Oh. Of course, Todd is nowhere to be found.
Oh, God.
Because they want to sell magazines. So he did not join them on the cover. But anyhow, first pictures of Penelope in Us Weekly.
You know, every time I see him, all I think of is Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Yes.
Because he looks exactly like
he
that
does.
Character.
And he's American and Psycho. Yes. So, yeah, works. The other news is, so Kanye West played, like, his latest song.
Okay.
At a club in New York. And the song is called Perfect Bitch.
It's about Kim.
And he did tweet, I wrote the song Perfect Bitch about Kim. And Kim has tweeted or said or whatever how flattered she is.
I love him. We're going to get married and have kids.
Okay. Now, I would like to speak to every young woman out there.
Oh, God.
I don't care what else is said in the song. And I don't care what else he tells you. If he calls you bitch in any way, shape, or form, get the hell out.
Yep.
That's all I got to say about that one.
All right. And on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back next week. As always, you can check us out at DVDverdict.com. Lots of great reviews, big, huge upcoming releases calendar, so you can track your DVD and Blu-ray purchases for the coming holidays. And you can always subscribe to us on iTunes, because all the other great DVD Verdict Presents podcasts are there for you to listen to. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
You know it's time to say goodbye. And don't forget, on me, you can rely.